Hey y'all, Ashley here, and today we are going to talk about everybody's favorite thing, the imposter. You're listening to Copy Chatter, the podcast where we talk about all things writing business. We're having a conversation here about freelance writing and freelance writers, and you are invited. Let's chat about business, marketing, dealing with clients, mindset issues, copy tips, and rolling with the changes. We'll also delve into what's going on with this particular writer as I grow and build my own business. Ready to talk shop? It's time for some copy chatter. So it's Monday when I'm recording this. I've just returned from Nashville for another fabulous funnel hacking live conference. For those of you who aren't familiar with it, Funnel Hacking Live is the annual digital marketing conference put on by the people behind the ClickFunnels software, Russell Brunson and all them. So it's a big digital marketing conference, and when I say big, I mean it's enormous. I think they sold 4,500 tickets this year, and we were in Tennessee, and it was a lot of fun. Got to meet up with a lot of my internet friends. And those of you who have internet friends know exactly what I'm talking about. These are the people that I interact with on a daily basis, sometimes many, many times a day, on Facebook, on Voxer, over email, etc. I probably get more quote-unquote FaceTime, at least interaction time with these folks than I do with anybody in my real life outside of my family. So these are my friends, and we only get to see each other a couple of times a year. So Funnel Hacking Live is, it's kind of a big deal in my universe, and it's a lot of fun. If you're looking for any kind of event to go to, and you want to learn more about marketing or how to run your business well, I highly recommend it. If you have any questions, feel free to ask me. You know how to reach me, but I'll tell you again, ashley@ashleygainer.com. I did not mean for this to turn into a big advertisement for FHL. So what I wanted to share with you really comes down to something that I have spent a lot of time wrestling with lately, and did just like took it to the mat at FHL, and that is imposter syndrome. So imposter syndrome is something that comes up pretty regularly for writers. I would say especially for writers, but really anybody who's trying to do something different or something that feels really big, the imposter is there. And so I know people who feel imposter syndrome in their parenting. I know people who like have e-commerce shops and feel imposter syndrome. I know people in grad school who feel like imposters. I know lots and lots of entrepreneurs who feel like they are not qualified to do the thing that they want to do. And I especially know so many writers who face this. So I've been thinking about this a lot. It came up the end of January is when the Work at Home School launched, and that was a big virtual summit all about the different ways that you can make money from home. And I had an interview as part of the summit, so one of my coaching students was listening to that interview, and she popped in and just said something about, apparently at one point I mentioned insecure writers, how we're all insecure. And she kind of grabbed onto this phrase and joked that insecure writer would make a really funny tattoo, like a good tattoo. You know how we joke about that would make a good tattoo, or that would make a good band name. I think the insecure writers would make a better tattoo than a band name. But this notion of the insecure writer started coming up pretty frequently in the chatter. And also in the coaching sessions, I had a girl who landed a gig and kind of offhandedly mentioned that she got hired to write this stuff, and she felt like she had sort of like almost tricked them into hiring her. And then she turned in her work, and they were really happy with it and how that was really cool. And she was focusing on how it was really cool that they were happy with it. But I really caught on to the fact that she felt like she tricked them into hiring her. And I think that is something that so many of us struggle with, not just us writers. Like I said before, anyone who's trying to do something big, I think, comes up against this. So I've been a freelance writer since 2010. So I've been doing this for about a decade. I earned a degree in journalism from UNC Chapel Hill, which is one of the top journalism schools in the country. Our students consistently for decades have won national awards and that kind of thing. So it's a good journalism school. And I came through the writing track, the writing and editing track. And so I have a degree in this stuff that I earned, I don't want to say how many years ago, almost 15 years ago. And and I've been doing it professionally for almost a decade. And I think my coaching students were shocked, or maybe at least surprised, to hear that I still really struggle with imposter syndrome. I still get nervous every time I send a pitch. I still am convinced that every time I send my rates to somebody that the answer is going to be no, of course not, that obviously my work is not worth that much because I'm not that good, you know, or what I bring to the table is not that valuable. For me, the struggle for not that valuable isn't a main one because intellectually I fully and completely comprehend the value of good copy. So for me, the struggle is not that no one would pay for this. It's that no one would pay me for this. And I was really shocked to see at Funnel Hacking Live that, I thought this was kind of specific to writers. Not that we're so special, but I think we tend to be more maybe writers and, like visual creatives too. We tend to, our work is, it comes from our heart. You know, we feel like, we tap into our soul when we write a lot of times. I mean, some of this stuff is just like, you just sort of trudge through the assignment and you hope that it ends someday. But a lot of times when you create something as a service provider, meaning that your client is going to judge it and decide whether or not it's acceptable enough to use, it really can get scary. You know, you're putting yourself out on the line and you're going to be judged. You're going to be evaluated. And if you don't meet the standard, you know, if the judgment is not in your favor, you don't get paid. And if it happens enough times, you don't ever get paid and you can't keep the lights on and your kids, you know, you can't eat, your kids can't eat, you know, hopefully you have a safety net so nobody's starving if you miss an assignment. But, you know, the weight of what we do feels very heavy because of the creative process. But when I was at this conference, surrounded by 4,300 of my closest friends, many of whom are not creative service providers, some of them are what we call funnel builders, where they do more of the tech and the strategy. Some of them run like Facebook ads, and some of them have e-commerce stores, and some of them have other agencies for like PR or whatever. Some of them sell essential oils and, you know, are in other network marketing gigs. And some of them just are out there trying to promote their digital courses or their info products or their books or their t-shirts or their whatever. And a lot of people were there just to kind of figure out what the heck they were going to do with their lives. But the recurring theme over and over and over that I heard was that we all struggle with imposter syndrome. We all feel on some level like we don't belong. We all worry that we are not qualified to achieve this thing we've set out to achieve. So I want to offer you that as an encouragement. The thing I say to my writers is that we all feel like we're imposters and only some of us push through. And the ones who can push through The ones who, as we heard Brandon Bouchard talk, and one of the things he talked about was being able to listen through the fear. Some of us get so full of fear and anxiety and nerves and, you know, whatever else the imposter is telling us, that we can't take action while simultaneously feeling it. And one of the things I have had to do tremendous amounts of work on in myself, because I just get paralyzed with anxiety sometimes, is the thing I've had to work on is the ability to keep pushing through, you know, keep to do the thing, even though I'm terrified. It's not that the fear goes away. It's that the action still happens. That pitches still get sent. The rate negotiations still occur. You know, the portfolio pieces still get done. The work still gets submitted, even when I'm terrified. Even when I'm convinced that they're going to hate it, or that I got it all wrong, or that I flubbed it, and that the response is going to be, thanks, but no thanks. What I've been able to do is build up a tolerance to that anxiety. And what I hope that my coaching students will be able to do is also build up a tolerance to that anxiety. And what I hope you can do is build up a tolerance to that anxiety. So I wanted to share just a couple of things that I've done that have helped. The first thing that I do, and I tell people this, but I don't know that it makes sense, but this is something, it's kind of a mindset, and I don't want to get all like woo-woo psychology on you, but it's a mindset. When I was terrified that I was going to fail, that I wasn't going to be able to get the work, that I wasn't going to be able to provide for my kid, that I was going to end up homeless, living in my car, eating oatmeal with a toddler. I didn't let not doing it become an option. Failure was an option. I mean, failure was realistically something that could have happened, but I wasn't going to let not trying be an option. So one thing you can do is remind yourself that quitting is not an option. Not doing it is not an option. Failure is an option, and failure is scary, and you have to get used to the idea that you might fail at this. But remove, I'll do it tomorrow, from the table. Remove, I just need to read one more thing about this and then I'll be ready, from the table. Remove anything that lets you off the hook. Do not let yourself off the hook. Do it. Do it scared. Do the thing anyway. Not doing it is not an option. So that's the big mindset shift I had to put myself through. I don't know that it was even a mindset shift. It was an approach that I had to buy into. I had to stop letting myself off the hook. Because if I let myself off the hook, it wouldn't get done. And then we'd have to live in our car. And that would not be bad. That would not be good, you know. So the second thing I would do is pull back and ask myself, what's the worst that can happen? If I send this pitch and it is not well received, what's the worst that could happen? And at one point, I even pulled out a notepad and wrote out my worst case scenario. And I catastrophized to the max. It was like, I send this pitch. I was stuck. There was somebody I needed to pitch, and I was just terrified because it was like a recognizable name. For a recognizable company, and I really, really wanted to nail this gig, and I was really afraid. So I was sitting there catastrophizing, and it was like, so if this doesn't go well, she could write back and she could ridicule me. She could hurl all kinds of names at me, call me really bad words. And then it got bigger. It was, you know, and then she would call all of her friends, and they would laugh at me too. And she could run some kind of a smear campaign, you know, like a broadcast, like a blast or something, and name me by name and tell everybody that I was garbage and that my work was trash and I would never get hired again. And then I would live in my car with my toddler eating oatmeal, the microwavable stuff. We'd go to the library and heat it up. But once that, so I really just let loose and came up with like just the worst possible scenario. I would get laughed out of town. I would never do this work again. I would be left destitute and homeless, etc. And then Once I thought about the absolute worst case scenario, I could look at it and think, like, ask myself, what is the likelihood that this is actually going to happen? And the likelihood of any of that happening was very, very small. It was likely, you know, it was certainly within the realm of possibility that I could get an email back that was, you know, not very nice. That's always a possibility. And I've had a few of those and they're not fun. But if this, you know, if this person, this prospective client that I was pitching didn't want to work with me, was it really going to end up with me living in my car? No, probably not. So once I got clear on what was really actually the most likely bad thing to happen, and the most likely bad thing to happen was just a nasty gram, well, I could live with that. I couldn't live with not providing for my kid. I could live with emails. You know, I could live with insults. I could live with no. I could even live with getting a, you know, a blast, a public blast, and having a bad reputation. It would not be fun, but I could live with that. I couldn't live with my 2-year-old going to the refrigerator and opening it because he did that, and not having anything for him to eat in there. So, you know, doing that exercise, what's worse, sending an email or being homeless? It's a lot easier to send that email once you have that perspective. So that's the second thing I wanted to offer. And then the third thing that I want to offer to help you move from a place of fear into a place of doing it is to get a buddy. My buddy at the time was my boyfriend. He's now my husband and father of my beautiful children. And there were times when I would just like, blood would be just pounding in my ears and I like could barely see straight, and I typed out this pitch. So I use a pitch template so that I'm not writing a fresh email every single time. And then it's just a matter of plugging in the links, filling in the blanks, and then typing up the person's email, and then you hit send. And there would be times when I would call him and say, I need to send this email and I'm terrified. Or I'd reach out to a friend of mine who is a writer. One of many friends. I had several friends at the time. And it was like, I need to send this pitch and I need someone to tell me to do it because I'm too chicken. And so, you know, whoever that person I reached out to was would say, okay, send it. And then it'd be like, she said, I have to send it. Okay, I'm going to send it. And I'd hold my breath and I'd hit the button. And then I would literally get up from my desk. I mean, these are like the really hard times when I was really, really nervous. I would get up from my desk and I would go somewhere else. Half the time I would go sit in the corner and just sort of twitch for a minute. But reaching out and making that human connection and saying, I have to do this and I need you to hold me accountable for doing it. Now tell me to do it. Just knowing that someone else was expecting me to do it was enough to get me over the hump. So if you have a buddy or if you have a loved one who wouldn't mind being that person and you think this would help, I recommend you do it. And so this is all in the context of sending pitches, but really, it could be anything. If you are an expert and you're listening to this because you're curious about what it's like to work with a writer and you have a book idea and you are convinced that, no one is going to like this idea and that it's stupid and you don't want to tell anybody. Well, I'm really nice and I invite you to get in touch with me, because the worst thing that will happen if you reach out with me is that it takes me a while to get back to you because I'm off being a mom and I won't respond until tomorrow. You know, I'm not going to ignore you and I'm not going to be mean to you, and I might need to help you find the kernel of the idea that turns into the book. If you are struggling with any kind of idea that you think is stupid, or that you think other people will think is stupid, or that you are unqualified for, I invite you to share. Well, first I would say figure out what your next step needs to be. And then I invite you to share that next step with somebody who loves you and say, I need you to tell me to go do this thing. And then when they say, okay, go do that thing, see how you respond to doing it, because I would venture that odds are good that it's going to be a lot easier for you to do that thing once you have offloaded some of the pressure And once you know that there's somebody in your corner cheering for you. So I recommend that you give it a try. So I have a whole lot more I want to share with you about imposter syndrome. This is a topic I could go on and on and on about, but I will not do that right now. I am going to wrap up here. But if you have any questions or if any of this resonated with you, let me know. I invite you to get in touch with me about this, you know, or really about anything that has to do with writing or copy or working with a writer or becoming a writer or dealing with any kind of insecurity like that. Don't hesitate to get in touch. You can reach me anytime, ashley@ashleygaynor.com. You can find me on Facebook. I'm pretty easy to find. Or on the web at ashleygaynor.com.